John chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the eternal security of the Christian. The eternal security of the Christian. Baptists have always been thought of as once saved, always saved. And yet that has been misused. And I like to think of it the eternal security. Once we are truly saved, we are His. And we belong to Him. And we don't have to worry that He's going to take our salvation away or not keep us. We saw in 1 Peter 1 where we are kept by the power of God. And we want to look in John at three passages of Scripture. And we'll read John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus, after we talked last week about He is the same, or Sunday night, as the Father, He then says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now he gives a simple statement here that once we pass from the state of being unsaved to the state of being saved, we are in that state forever. He says they have everlasting life, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means to trust Him and nothing else. We trust in Christ, shall not come into condemnation. We'll never be condemned. We'll never be separated. He says the same thing in Romans 8. And it's interesting, studying some of the Greek, the word when it says, "but is passed from death unto life," is in the tense, which means it happened in the past when we were saved, but the results continue on and on and on forever. That is, once we're saved, we passed under the death penalty, and we're no longer condemned, and now we've passed unto life, eternal life, the life that is in the Lord, and we passed into that, and that is our continuous state that we will be in. We will not lose it. We don't go back and forth. We don't go back and forth and go back to being lost and going back to being saved, lost and saved. I remember talking with a young gentleman. I forget how many times he'd been saved. I think he'd been saved 10 times. But he just misunderstood this idea of the Christian life. Trust in Christ. Now, we may understand it better, but we pass from death unto life. Then turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I want you to notice a few other truths that he mentions in verse 37. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days." Now I want you to notice a couple of truths here in this passage of Scripture. In verse 37, you have what the Scripture always does. And on the one hand, it presents the sovereignty of God, and on the other hand, it presents the human responsibility of men. The sovereignty of God, he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And he's talking about election. The Bible does teach an election, and that Bible does teach that the Father has given unto the Son. Now, people come in different ways on it, but the Bible does teach on election. And so he's talking about the sovereign work of God, that all that the Father has given unto him will come unto him. The sovereignty of God will work to bring those unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. But then he says in verse 37, "And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." There is the human responsibility. Those who come to him trusting in Christ, I will not cast out. On the one hand, there is the sovereignty of God, and there's the human responsibility. And the Bible doesn't try to boil them down. It keeps two truths that seem to be contradictory together. For example, we say that God is sovereign. In that fact, he is in control of all circumstances. But at the same time, there is human responsibility in those circumstances. Only God knows how all those work together. You cannot lean this way and say, well, you know, it's just all going to work out in the end. I'm not supposed to do nothing. What will be, and I'll make no choices. No, the Bible doesn't say that. God is in sovereign control of all events, but at the same time, he constantly exhorts us to choices in life. And we can trust in God. So he presents the two sides of salvation. And then in verses 38 through 40, he tells us once again the eternal security. He says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." That is, I came down to do the Father's will. And so he says in verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day." I will lose nothing. Those who come to Christ and truly come to Christ as God sees them, not as we necessarily see them, but as God sees them, he will not lose them. They are his. And he says in verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." What's interesting, the Greek word "may have everlasting life" is in the continuous tense, which means when we trust in Christ, we continually have the everlasting of God, the everlasting life. It doesn't leave us and then come back. It doesn't leave us and then come back. We may be closer to the Lord at times and a little further away, but when we have eternal life, it is continuous, and notice, it is complete. "And I will raise him up on the last day." It is a complete salvation that God saves, God keeps. We have everlasting life, and we will continually have everlasting life, and God will complete the whole story by raising us up, and we will forever and ever and ever be with the Lord. It's interesting, in Romans 8, he talks about being justified and then glorified. He skips sanctification, and he goes on to another verse, but he basically says, when you're declared righteous by God, you will be glorified, and we have an eternal, secure salvation. The Bible says that we are redeemed, and we're redeemed, and the Holy Spirit is given as a down payment, and we are secure until the day of redemption, which means the final, full, complete salvation. These bodies resurrected, changed, forever in heaven. We are saved, we are secure, and we are complete. God will bring me unto heaven. I'm his. And nobody's going to take out of his hand me. Those who truly know him, we are secure in Christ. And he's not going to lose any of us. I am as assured that I'm going to heaven, and I'm as assured that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that I will be resurrected one day, and that I will be forever and ever with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever, because I've trusted in Christ. I'm his. Those who trust in Christ, you're his. There's some who misunderstand the idea of works and think we lose it and we gain it, we lose it and we gain it, but we don't. Once we're his, we are his. Now turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And as usual, the scripture always presents us a balance in these truths so they cannot be twisted. John chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Now he's speaking to the Jews. It's very obvious that many people will not believe. Many of the Jews, now some did, but many rejected Jesus Christ. Sad to say, I don't know why, I don't understand. There are many who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They simply will not trust in Christ. So there are some who do not believe. But then he goes on to talk about his sheep. And so he says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Here is the balance. Here is the balance of Scripture. There is the evidence of salvation. My sheep, he says, in other words, he says, these are not my sheep. They have rejected me. They have not believed in me. They have not come into the fold. They have not been saved. But my sheep, those who have trusted in me, and he likens us unto sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Pure and simple. I can repeat to you over and over and over the consistent teaching of Scripture that we're saved by faith in Christ and nothing else. Nothing I ever do, will ever say, will add to what Christ did for me. But the Bible repeatedly emphasizes that I will evidence that I know him. I can remember growing up, and this is probably why I know some on the other side who don't like the Baptist theology, and they've said you lose your salvation and all that, because they saw all many people who claimed to be saved. Now, he did not say those who walk an aisle. He didn't say there's nothing about walking an aisle. He did say we publicly give testimony to him, but just walking an aisle and joining the church does not save. He says those who believe in him, who trust in him, and there is the evidence. Now, I've met a lot of Baptists, and of course Methodists and Presbyterians and quite other people, but I've met a lot of Baptists who give no evidence that they've ever trusted in Christ. And yet somehow the doctrine has been twisted a little bit that once saved, always saved. In other words, once I'm saved, I'd live like the devil, I'd do whatever I want to, but hallelujah, once I'm saved, I'm saved. The truth is, they weren't saved, because he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, what's interesting, Greek is an interesting language. And the Greek that you don't pick up in English emphasizes certain words. It's like neon signs. And what is emphasized in verse 27 is, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verses 25 and 26 is the contrast. These are the ones who haven't believed in me. They're not my sheep. But my sheep, he says, my sheep. What does Jesus say? He says, my children, my sheep. Those who trust in me, they hear my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Once again, the evidence that we're saved. Once saved, always saved does not mean once saved, live like the devil, and then one day I'll go to heaven. Now, we're not out to get people lost, but the Bible presents both sides of the coin. There is evidence. Otherwise, this salvation isn't worth 2 cents. If this salvation can't save anybody and halfway change them, then we need to come up with something else, because we got a cheap salvation. But we don't have a cheap salvation. We just got a lot of people who claim they know it, but they don't know it. They're my sheep, hear my voice, and they follow me. And notice Jesus says, and I know them. Christ knows you. You, and you, and you who've trusted him. He knows me. He knows me by name. He calls me. And just like sheep, when they begin to wander off, here comes that hook. Go this way. And the sheep will follow the shepherd's voice, they say. And studying about the Old Testament, they will know who their shepherd is, and they will follow him. So that is the other side of the coin. That is what James says. Show me your faith. Well, I'll show you my faith by my works and my deeds. That must be the balance. But then he goes on, and it's interesting, verse 28. And I, that word I is emphasized, I give unto them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Do you know the emphasis is on Christ? Christ is the one who's in charge, and Christ is the one who knows who are his, and Christ makes sure he takes care of his sheep. When there are people who claim to know Christ who show no signs of any change in their life, and there's been no correction by the shepherd, something's wrong. Something's wrong. My sheep hear my voice. Now, then he talks about, once again, the eternal security. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. And what's interesting, the word never is emphasized again. It's like if you read Greek, the word never is in neon sign. And they shall never, emphasized, perish. The eternal security of the believer, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody. I mean, can I tell you something? The image is, when you've trusted in Christ and you're part of him and you're in his family, he's got you in his hand, and there's nobody going to come and take you out of his hand. That's a strong hand. It's a powerful hand, and you are his. You can trust him. Now, for us, that's a comfort. We're not perfect. I don't fulfill everything that I should be doing. I'm not a perfect person. But I know I'm saved because the bent of my life is wanting to serve the Lord. David was said as he's a man after God's own heart. Look what David did. But David repented of his sin. Saul did not. Those are the differences. He's not talking about perfection. He's talking about the consistent attitude of the life. And we're in his hands, and nobody's going to take him out. you can try to visualize it this way. Is all the cults may be trying to take people out, and all the different people and the false religions and all that may be trying to snatch people out of Christ's hand. You're not going to get you out of Christ's hand. You're in there, and that's it. And it's interesting, never and any man is emphasized shall never pluck them out of my hand. And the word pluck is in continuous action, which means they're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. They're never going to snatch you out. Then he says, verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The eternal security from the Father and the Son, nobody takes his children out of his hand. We are secure. We are secure. But the Bible says we don't rest in that. We trust in it and we depend on it. But the Bible then constantly exhorts, and those that name the name of Jesus turn away from sin. But we are secure. We are forever. If you're saved, I'm going to see you in heaven. We're going to be there forever and ever. Ain't nobody going to take me. I may get Alzheimer's, not know where I'm at, but nobody's going to take me out of God's hands. I'm his. You may come to me one day, and I may be saying all kinds of babble. I don't know. My mother, when she had Alzheimer's, she said all kinds of babble. she said all sorts of things. But you know what you could see in her? You could still see Christ in the midst of all that. And I'll never forget that when she breathed her last breath, it was like, well, I've already lost her. Now, God's gained her. And boy, what a relief. He just simply reached down and said, you're mine, and you've been mine from day one that you trusted me, and no one's going to take you out, and I'm going to bring you on to heaven, and no one's going to take you out of the Father's hand, and no one's going to take you out of Christ's hands. We are forever and ever and ever his. So the Bible teaches the eternal security of the Christian. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means for those who generally know him, we'd rest. I'm his. Now, that don't mean we're just passive, you know, and we make no choices in life. And if God convicts us that we don't repent, but that's the evidence of our salvation. But we rest. We don't rest to sit around and do nothing because we're his. His life is in us, but we're assured. You know, I'd hate to know that, as one man told me when he was going to heaven or hell, he said, well, if I died now, I'm going to hell. If I died during the night, I'm going to heaven. And I said, what's the difference? He said, well, tonight I'm going to confess my sins before I go to bed, so I'll get them all confessed up, and then I'm going to heaven. Wouldn't that be a terrible way to live, folks? That would just be a terrible way to live. I'd be living in fear as I walked around. If all of a sudden I saw, the wretch coming, I'd have to confess them all and make sure I got it. No, we're his. We're his forever. And no one will ever take us from him. And we can be assured. Heaven's our home, just as sure as you got a home now. God makes sure he keeps his children.